Welcome to the Wisdom Journey. Stephen Davey is teaching through all 66 books of the Bible with a new lesson each weekday. We're currently in the book of Psalms, and today we come to Psalms 7 and 8. Psalm 7 reminds us that God is just and powerful enough to deal with the slanderous, hateful attacks upon us. Psalm 8 illustrates that He's also gracious and powerful enough to use weak people like us to carry out His will. This lesson is called Songs for Future Kings and Queens.
As we journey through the book of Psalms, you'll notice comments at the top of certain psalms. We call those superscriptions. In fact, we're now at Psalm chapter 7, and you'll see one. You could call it a header, perhaps. It says here in this header at Psalm 7, a shigayon of David. Shigayon means to wander. Now, it's possible that David used a familiar tune that sort of wanders up and down the musical scale. We're not sure exactly what this refers to. But let me read on here. A shigayon of David, which he sang to the Lord concerning the words of Cush, a Benjaminite. Now, we don't know what a shigayon sounded like as a musical tune. And again, we have no idea who Cush, the Benjaminite, was. We do know that David's history with the tribe of Benjamin wasn't all that rosy. In fact, back in 1 Samuel 13, the Lord judged King Saul, who was a Benjaminite, and gave the throne to David, a member of the tribe of Judah. Now, I don't think the tribe of Benjamin ever got over that. And they never seemed to care much for David either. Now, this superscription tells us that David was composing this song about something that Cush happened to have said, and it evidently wasn't very nice. So this is going to be a psalm about experiencing hurtful words. Now, verse 1. O Lord my God, in you do I take refuge. Save me from all my pursuers and deliver me. Lest like a lion they tear my soul apart, rending it in pieces with none to deliver. David basically just starts praying here. He's hurt. He wants the Lord to defend him. He's asking for help. Now here in verse 3, he says, O Lord my God, if I've done this, if there is wrong in my hands, verse 5, well, let the enemy pursue my soul and overtake it. So David opens himself up for inspection here. And don't skip over this step, by the way, when you're being personally attacked. You know, sometimes there are kernels of truth inside unkind criticism. And the Lord might be revealing a blind spot in your life. So David surrenders now to whatever the Lord wants to do in his own life. He opens himself up. Lord, you take a close look at my life. Maybe there's something going on that needs to be corrected. He says here in verse 8, judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, or you could understand that to mean my right standing. See, yeah, David can point a finger over at Cush, but maybe God can point a finger at David. So this is a transparent attitude now that's going to allow David and you and me to grow during times when we're treated perhaps unfairly or someone speaks unkind words to us. By the way, there's no record of David being vindicated from whatever this particular slander happened to have been. But I can tell you, David ended up with a deeper relationship with God because of it. Now, here in Psalm chapter 8, we have another superscription. This one is addressed to the director of the choir. It says here, to the choir master, according to the gittithi. Gittithi, again, is a reference to some kind of musical instrument. Evidently, that musical instrument is going to accompany this particular song. David wants it played on the gittithi. Well, what in the world is a gittithi? Well, Hebrew scholars think that this was an instrument you struck, like a drum or a kettle. We're not exactly sure. Now, David begins this psalm, and he ends it with the same expression. So you've got bookends here, so to speak, that give us the theme. Here it is in verse 1, and again in verse 9. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Now, David goes on here to give us reasons why God is to be exalted. Verse 2, out of the mouths of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your enemies. You know, over in Matthew 21, it occurred to me that Jesus overturns the tables of the money changers there in the temple. He heals the blind and the lame. And then he says to these infuriated religious leaders in verse 16, have you never read, out of the mouth of infants, babies, you have prepared praise? By the way, he's quoting this verse right here in Psalm chapter 8. God doesn't need the powerful. He doesn't need the religious scholars to praise him. He can get that out of the lame. He can get that praise out of the blind, even little children who are singing praise to him. Now, David writes here in verse 3, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? You see, when David looks up and he observes the heavens, he calls it the finger work, the sculpting of Creator God. And David was overwhelmed that such a majestic creator would care to even think about the human race. He writes here in verse 5, yet you have made him a little lower than heavenly beings. What does that mean? Well, the word translated heavenly beings is Elohim, the name for God, which is plural. The Greek translation of the Old Testament, known as the Septuagint, translates it as angels or heavenly beings. And that's how the writer of Hebrews quoted it over in chapter 2 and verse 7. The writer of Hebrews used the Greek translation of Psalm 8, and he wrote that for a little while Jesus was made lower than the angels. So he's emphasizing the humility of Jesus when he was born here on earth. But back here in Psalm chapter 8, David isn't directly referring to the Messiah. He's talking about the human race, and he's marveling that the human race was created a little lower than Elohim, God. In other words, we're the highest created order, the apex of God's creation. So when David looked at the magnificent moon and the stars, he's blown away that God would even care about us and that God created us a little lower than himself. Wow. Now before we start swelling up and strutting around, David doesn't mean that we have divine attributes or that we're just so close to being, you know, like God. No, David is reminding us here of God's original created design. Adam and Eve were the apex of God's creation, created as king and queen of planet Earth under the rule of God. Under us, you have the animal kingdom. The animals were the subjects, so to speak, of Adam and Eve, king and queen of God's magnificent creation. Of course, sin is going to ruin all of that. David describes what our future will be like one day. What's it going to look like when God reverses the curse and creates a new earth and a new universe? Revelation chapter 21 describes it. So I want you to listen to your future, beloved, because David is about to describe it here in verse 5. You have crowned him, that is the human race. You have crowned humankind with glory and honor. You've given him dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea. So, beloved, here's your future. When one day you co-reign with Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter 20, in the kingdom, you're going to have complete and perfect dominion over earth and the animal kingdom back to your original order, created just under the order of our magnificent Elohim, Creator God. By the way, I want to remind you that David doesn't say here in verse 5 that you're a little higher than the animals. No, get this. He says you're a little lower than God. Charles Darwin once wrote that man is the most efficient animal ever to emerge on earth. How tragic. You see, in other words, you're just a smart animal. You're just a superior mammal. That's who you are. Well, that's not what the Word of God says you are here in verse 5. You've been created so far above the animal kingdom, you're just under God. You've been crowned with special glory and honor. So let me wrap it up this way. If you've been the object of unfair criticism, perhaps unjust treatment, unkind words, perhaps you're coming to the conclusion that, well, you're a nobody. You're hardly any better than that dog or cat out there, and that nobody cares about you. Let me tell you something. Nothing could be further from the truth. I want you to just go outside tonight. I want you to look up at the stars. I want you to listen to the evening songs of those birds. They're God's creation, and He's going to give you dominion over a new earth and a new universe. And that's going to be fully realized as you reign with Christ as a king and a queen in the coming kingdom of God. Wow, your future is really unimaginable and glorious. And with that, your future royal majesties, well, we're out of time. So until our next journey through God's book of wisdom that gives us our glorious future, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You didn't tune in today by accident, and perhaps this lesson from God's Word was exactly what you needed to hear. If you'd like to know more about this wisdom journey, go to wisdomonline.org. Another great reason to visit that site is to listen to any of the past lessons. The archive of Stephen's Bible teaching is online at wisdomonline.org. Join us again as we continue along the wisdom journey.